ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி, ஸ்லோகா 42. கதம் தரேயம் பவ சிந்துமேதம் காவாகதிர்மே கதமோத்யுபாயஹ ஜானேன கிஞ்சித் கிருபயாவ மாம் பிரபோ சம்சார துக்க க்ஷதி மாதனுஷ்வ. சோ சங்கராச்சாரியா ஹி மென்ஷன்ட் அபவுட் தி குவாலிஃபிகேஷன்ஸ் ரிக்வயர்ட் ஆன் தி பார்ட் ஆஃப் தி ஸ்டூடெண்ட்ஸ் பை ஃபாலோயிங் தி வேத பூர்வ பாக. And the student has understood the necessary qualifications and the necessity of a teacher and has approached a guru with proper attitude and is expressing his need very, very clearly. Swami Dayananda Saraswati says, when we pray to God, we have to specifically pray what we want. Because people generally say, why should we ask the Lord since he is supposed to be Sarvajnaha, he should know everything. But Swamiji says, Bhagavan knows all right, but do we know? What do we want from the Lord? So we have to be very clear about the goal of life, and so it is for that reason that we should specify. That is why in our tradition, before any ritual is done, they have this Sankalpa ritual, where whatever the wants, they are all specified. That indicates one's clarity with respect to one's wants. So here also the student clearly knows what he wants is jnanam. Self-knowledge is what he is looking for. So he did the pariprashna. As we mentioned in the last webinar, pariprashna. Vakye amritaihi mam sechaya. That's what he said in the last shlokas. So in a poetic language, Shankaracharya said, I am burnt by the samsara fire. The student says, I am burnt by the fire of samsara. And let the words coming from your mouth be like waters, which will quench the fire and make me all right. That is the prayer of the student. And in this shloka, the student says, O Prabhu, O Lord, he addresses the teacher as Prabhu, Bhava Sindhum Etam. This samsara sagara, the ocean of samsara, bhava sindhu, katham tareyam, how will I cross this ocean of samsara? That is a question. Kava gati me, what is my way out? Upayaha katham asti, what kind of upaya should I have? So the shastras, they talk about various ways. There is karma yoga, there is bhakti yoga, there is meditation. There are so many ways. What is appropriate for me? As the doctor gives the proper medicine, knowing the condition of the patient, may you direct me. Kinchit na jane, I don't know at all. Kripaya ava, please protect me. Ava, please protect me. Kripaya, by your compassion. Samsara dukkha Kshatim Atanushva. Please take me in the path of getting rid of the samsara dukkha. The same way Arjuna prayed to Krishna in the second chapter. Sishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. So the student has clearly expressed his desire and prayed to the guru. So he approached the guru properly and he expressed his desire also very clearly to him. Shloka 43. ததா வதந்தம் சரணாகதம் ஸ்வம் சம்சார தாவானல தாபதப்தம் நிரீக்ஷ்ய காருண்ய ரசார்த்ர த்ருஷ்ட்யா தத்யாத பீதிம் சஹசா மகாத்மா. Now that the Shishya has expressed his need, his desire, now the Acharya gives the response in the following shloka. So these are all responses of the teacher, should be all in quotation marks. And the first thing the guru does is to give abhaya pradhanam, to indicate that he has understood the student's problem and he is willing to help. Again, Swami Dayananda Saraswati says, it is not adequate if we understood, but one should verbally communicate and enumerate that he has understood the problem to the affected person, in this case to the Shishya. So that itself will remove half the pain suffered by the other person. I need not have to even give him a solution. I just listen to him, appreciate his problem, and communicate to him that I have understood his problem. Even that is a great solace for the person who is affected. This is called validation in psychological language. This principle, Kalidasa tells in his Shakuntalam also. So, nigdha janasam kalu dukkham sakya vedanam. That's what he has told. So, pain shared is pain halved. So, Guru knows the psychology and he says three things to the student. I appreciate your samsara problem. I also have diagnosed your problem. And I know the remedy also. All the three he communicates. That is why the Acharya says, Tadhyat abhitim. First job is don't worry. In Krishna's language, Ma shuchaha. So, such a guru, Karunya rasa ardra drishtya. By his look, Karunya drishtya, by his look which is overflowing with compassion, nirikshya, staring at the student. What is the condition of the student? Tata vadantam, who spoke this way, as indicated in the previous shloka. Swam sharanagatam, who has surrendered unto him, the teacher. And samsara davanala tapataptam, who is burnt by the forest fire of samsara. The teacher compassionately looks at the student and sahasa, very soon, abhitim dadyat, will give the abhayam, freedom from fear. Mahatma here, the guru is referred to as Mahatma. So many of these things have been already discussed in the previous shlokas in detail. So I just only gave the simple meaning here for the shloka because many of this forest fire and all those things have been discussed earlier. Shloka 44. Vidvan satasma upasattimi yushe mumukshave sadhu yatoktakarine prashanta chittaya samanvitaya tattvopadesham kripayaiva kuryat. Now that the guru has understood that the shishya is a qualified shishya for self-knowledge, he has gone through, he is a sadhana chaturtaya sampannaha adhikari, such a student. What are the qualifications? Sankaracharya, he mentions here, mumukshave yatokta karine prashanta chittaya samanvithaya and upasatti miyushe. So all these things Sankaracharya he is mentioning in this shloka. We have to see all of them. Five words which describe the qualification of the student. Mumukshave, the student does not want anything other than moksha. In Katopanishad, the teacher Yamadharmaraja, he offers to Nachiketas various gifts, all wealth of the Bhuloka, and even things in the heavens. I will also offer even the heavenly pleasures to you. So, unless the person has Tivra Mumukshutvam, he will vote for all those pleasures, all those allowances. But Nachiketas refused all those and was steadfast on getting moksha, self-knowledge. So here also, the teacher understood that the student is ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of moksha. So mumukshave refers to tivra mumukshuhu, having the mind of a sannyasi almost. So then yatokta karine, one who leads his life in keeping with Vedic injunctions, Vedoktakari refers to Vedoktakari, one who is a Vaidikaha. So Veda prescribes two margas, Pravritti Marga in the Purva Bhaga and Nivritti Marga in the Vedant, in the later portion. So Pravritti and Nivritti are Vedic injunctions. So a life of involvement first to polish the personality, to get Chitta Shuddhi and all that, like Karma Yoga, and then later to a life of withdrawal, that is Nivritti Marga. So such a person is yatoktakari. Yata uktam, instructed by what? By Vedena. So whatever is given in the Vedas, person follows. Voluntary obedience. The person voluntarily follows all those instructions. He obeys. So voluntary obedience is not slavery. Instructions by the guru and all, he obeys. When we say obeys, obedience, it is not that it is slavery. Here it is discipline followed for by my good wisdom and faith in my in the shastras and also the words of the guru. So with full understanding, he follows. This is called yatokta karitvam. The student has got this. And it also not half-heartedly he does. Sadhu, totally, implicitly, obedient, steady, voluntarily. That's what he does. And the third qualification is prashanta chittaya. One who has got a tranquil mind, does not get easily upset at all, does not react with the balance of mind. In the Samadhi, in the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti language, it is called Shamaha. Shamaha means Mano Nigraha, mental discipline, mind control. This is more important for Vedanta. In rituals also, this is important when people do rituals. But even if it is not there, a person can still do rituals. Especially if you know the mantras by heart. Mind always wanders here and there, but keeps on chanting the mantras mechanically. Many times this is the experience of most people. So not knowing by heart maybe is good many times. At least while reading, attention may be there. But in Vedanta, the whole pursuit is mental. And so Shama, mind control, is very important. And then the fourth qualification is Samanvitaya. Here the word Shamaha means Damaha actually, because already Shamaha is indicated previously. The reason is the Prashanta Chittasya itself means Shamaha, mental discipline. And so if Shama is repeated again here, then it will give a dosha called Punarukti Doshaha. So Punarukti Doshaha, Dosha Nivaranartham, the word Shamaha should be taken as Damaha here, or Indriya Nigraha, sense control. So Prashanta Chittaya refers to mental discipline and Samanvitaya refers to sensory discipline. That is, sense organs are also under control, especially the mouth perhaps. The eating mouth, and we already told many times, there are two mouths, the eating mouth and the talking mouth, most important organ. Jitam Sarvam Jite Rase, conquer the tongue, you can conquer the entire world. Rase here refers to the tongue. You can conquer the entire world if one can conquer the tongue, if the tongue is under your control. And then the fifth qualification is given in the first line, Upasatyam Iyushe. One who has done proper approach of the teacher, Iyushe, derived from the root I, to go, Eti, Gachati, to go. So to such a qualified student, what should the teacher do? Saha Vidwan Tattvopadesham Kuryat. Here Vidwan, he means Guru. To such a qualified student, the Jnani or Tattvavit, Brahmavit, should give the teaching. The Guru is a Jnani, a Brahmavit, Tattvavit. He should give the teaching. Tattvopadesham. Tattvopadesham means Atmopadesham, Brahmavitya Vidyapadesham Kuryat. The teacher also should not neglect such a student, but should teach. For what purpose the teacher should teach? No benefit for him at all, since he is a jnani who is one with the fullness, purnatvam. So he is not interested in name, fame, dharma, artha, kama, all those things, nor enamored by anyone's praise, nor does he want anyone's prostration. If so many people do namaskarams to him, he is not elated. So if at all he should teach, for only one reason, Kripaya Kuriyat. Except compassion, there cannot be any other motivation for the teacher to teach. Kuriyat Eva. Eva means necessarily. The teacher will necessarily teach. Shloka 45. Ma bhaishta vidvam stavanasya payaha samsara sindos taranesyupayaha yeneiva yata yatayosya param tameva margam tava nidishami. So This shloka should be in quotations, as we mentioned earlier, as the Acharya is quoting, the Acharya Shankaracharya quoting the words of the Guru. Shlokas 45 to 49, these are all words of the teacher. It's a general trend. First, the most important statement, Ma Baishta means don't be anxious, don't be panicked, don't have fear. Hey Vidwan, the teacher is addressing the student. Oh, intelligent, informed, learned student. We already told the student is an adhikari. So, oh, informed student, don't panic. It is a fact also. The student is really a well-informed student here. So, Vidvamstava. Vidvamstava means Vidwan plus Tava. So, Vidvamstava. Na becomes when you can combine. So, may you not be frightened. Why? Tava apayaha nasti. No danger, apaya. No danger for you. Don't imagine the future thinking, will I have money? Will I be secure? Will my children be helping me in my old age? None of those things. Don't be worried about any of them. From what? Samsara sindoho. No danger for you from samsara sindoho. From the ocean of samsara, you have no fear. Why? The reason is what? Samsara sindoho tarane upayaha asti. There is a method of crossing the ocean of samsara, upaya. Upaya means method. There is a method of crossing the ocean of samsara, taranam. Taranam means crossing. And what is that method? This is not an experimental method that I want to test on you like a guinea pig. I already know this is proven. So the teacher says, this is a time-tested method. You are not a guinea pig. I want to test it on you. So, yatayaha asya param yena yatha. Yatayaha means many seekers of the past. Literally, sannyasinaha. As we said earlier, sannyasa represents commitment to spiritual pursuit. Whether or not, if he is a physical sannyasi, mental preparedness to sacrifice anything for moksha. So, like Everest climbers, you know, people who want to climb the Everest, they may or may not return. They prepare, you know, the family, tell the wife, tell the children, do so many other things. And also, even to go to the base camp, they have to, you know, walk for several, you know, 100 kilometers or 150 kilometers to reach the base camp. And from there, at every stage, they have to go on climbing and get acclimatized to the height. And after reaching the near almost the top, the last 30 or 40 meters, 50 meters, many people may not even make that small distance. Many people might even die. So all those things are possible. But for that person, for what he is doing all that? Because of his tivra icha to go and climb the Everest. Same way, here, if we have to have so much of planning and so much of efforts required for climbing an Everest, what to talk of moksha, the highest goal of life? That commitment is called sannyasa. He is called yatihi. So the acharya says yatayaha. Yatayaha refers to many committed people. Asya param yataha. So samsarasya. So the other shore they have reached. Param. The other shore they have reached. So many sincere seekers of past have reached the shore of samsara. So you can also do the same thing too. Tameva margam. Tava Nirdishami, that same path followed by those seekers, I will teach you. So here the Guru claims that I am the disciple of the traditional Guru Shishya Parampara, and that is the only method to gain this knowledge. I have gained it from my teacher, who has gained it from his teacher, and the same thing I am going to teach you also. Shloka 46. Astyupayo Mahan Kaschitam samsara bhaya nashanaha tena tirtva bhavam bhotim paramanandam apsyasi. So it is almost a repetition of the previous shloka for the sake of emphasis. Kaschit mahan upayaha asti. There is a great grand method, mahan upayaha, sadhanam means, that is there for what? Samsara bhaya nashanaha, which will destroy the fear of samsara, the anxiety, the insecurity, sense of want, limitation, fear of losing things, losing people. So these are all samsara bhaya. There is a remedy to destroy all of them is available. Nashanaha. Nashanaha means destroy. So bhavam bodhim tirtva. One can cross the ocean of samsara when? Not after death. What is the use of crossing then after death? Here and now it is understood. One can cross the ocean of samsara here and now. Shankaracharya does not say it should be understood, because if you say it is after death, then there is no proof at all. Who can prove that? So Vedanta says moksha is here and now. You can test for yourself. So many people have already got it. You can also test it for yourself. Therefore, never criticize before studying Vedanta. Study it systematically. So bhava refers to samsara. Ambodhihi means ocean. So samsara sagaram tirtva. Having crossed this samsara sagara, what will happen to you? Paramanandam apsisi. You will attain the highest ananda, paramananda, otherwise known as purnatvam. Sense of fulfillment, purposefulness in life, meaningfulness in life, wonderful things. Life is wonderful. So that kind of attitude you will get by going through this method. Shloka 47. Vedantartha vicharena chayate jnanam uttamam. తేనాత్యంతిక సంసార దుఃఖనాశో భవత్యను. సో హియర్ ది ఆచార్య బ్రీఫ్లీ మెన్షన్స్ ది మెడిసిన్ టు బి గివన్ టు ట్రీట్ భవరోగ. దిస్ సంసార ఇస్ కాల్డ్ భవరోగ. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్? సెల్ఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ బాండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంతిక్ ఎన్క్వైరీ. దట్ ఈస్ ది మెడిసిన్. ద టీచర్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు ప్రిస్క్రైబ్ దాట్ మెడిసిన్. ది ఐడియా ఈస్ వాట్? That whatever we seek in life is already with us. There is nothing freshly to be sought. And therefore, we are never going to get them from the external world, because they are not available in the external world. The remedy is not available in the external world. Fullness is not in the world externally. Everything external world is all finite. Eternity is not available in the external world, since everything is bound by time. Security is not, because everything is insecure in the external world. Because they are not there only, you will never be able to get them from outside. They are all deluding. Like a wild goose chase, you will be going after them. I have been thinking always that once I get education, I will be Purnaha. Then once I get married, I'll be Purnaha. Once I get a job, it'll be all fine. Get a house, get children, grandchildren. I have been thinking all the time like that. I've been always postponing my Purnatvam. I should understand that the very fact that I consistently fail from what I want from the outside world means what? There is something fundamentally wrong in my basic approach itself. That's what I should understand. Why can't I see whether they are already with me or not? It may or be, maybe, may not be. Why not at least give the benefit of doubt and try to see within? This is self-inquiry, and through this, Vedanta shows what I think I need. Only I think I need, really speaking, I don't need at all. Because it is already my nature. And once I discover it is already my nature, the seeking ends. I don't acquire them, but I discover that it is in me and I need not have to go after that at all. So this requires Vedantic inquiry, because all the other sciences do only objective inquiry. No science does self-inquiry at all. They all invent newer and newer instruments with which I dwell deeply into object or subject. Objective world only. In the realm or atom and subatomic particles, all those things are in the bigger realm of stars and galaxies and all those. So either in the atomic level and subatomic level, or at bigger levels like the galaxies, stars and all those. That is what I dwell upon all the time. I will never find what I need. I may understand a lot about, you know, particles and stars. All those I can understand, but will never discover what I want because they are all object-oriented. None of them are subject-oriented. So what is the difference between a mirror? But Vedanta is one thing which is serving as a mirror. What is the difference between a mirror and a telescope? With telescope, microscope, all those scopes, you can see everything else except your eyes. Replace all those scopes with mirror. What is the uniqueness of the mirror? That is the only instrument that will help me see my own eyes. I am seeing outside, all right, but what I see is myself. Seeing the mirror is not an objective vision, but gives the subjective knowledge. Vedanta is a unique mirror. It's a unique verbal mirror of words and sentences in the form of what? In the form of teaching, in the form of shastras. And by that, I come to know I am not the physical body. I am not the mind, but I am consciousness, which is ever the subject and never the object, which consciousness is Sat Chit Ananta Swarupaha. Then on, I use matter, but I don't need matter for my fulfillment. Once I have that knowledge, I use matter, all right, but I do not need matter for my fulfillment. Matter is there or not, it does not matter, because I am different from matter. So he says, Vedantartha Vicharena, by inquiring into the subject matter of Vedanta, Artha, Artha means subject matter here. And what is that? Subject matter is not matter, but consciousness. Subject matter talked about here is not matter, but it is consciousness. So Vedantartha means Brahma or Atma. So Brahmartha Vicharaha, Atma Vicharaha, Chaitanya Vicharaha, Tattva Vicharaha, Brahma Vicharaha, Sarva Adhishtana Vicharaha. Any of these words we can use, all of them indicate the same thing. So by that inquiry, Uttamam Jnanam Jayate, the highest knowledge, Uttamam Jnanam Jayate is born, which is called in Mundaka Upanishad, Paravidya. In Bhagavad Gita also, we have come across this term, and also it's called in Bhagavad Gita as Rajavidya. So Paravidya or Rajavidya. What is that Vidya? I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am the Purna Chaitanyam. And what type of consciousness? We have already seen this. I have given the attributes and I talk about consciousness, what it is. Consciousness is not a part or product or property of the body. We have seen all these things earlier. I'm just only refreshing. It is an independent entity which pervades and enlivens the body, which is not bound by the limitations of the body. So the Purna Chaitanyam Aham Asmi. This is the roadmap of our study. We are going to go through this particular analysis in this manner. Why it is called Uttamam Jnanam? Because it deals with the highest reality. It is also called Uttamam because that alone is the liberating knowledge. That is why Acharya calls it as Uttamam Jnanam. In any other branch of study, the more you know, you will know how much you don't know. Or they say, you know more and more about less and less. That's what in every other branch of study. Vedanta is the only science which tells that you are not finite, you are infinite. Tena, because of this knowledge of Aham Purnaha Iti Jnanena, Atyantika Samsara Dukkha Nashaha. Atyantika Samsara Dukkha Nashaha. Dukkha Nashaha, actually all kinds of pains, they are all Dukkham, psychological pains. Vedanta does not, you know, guarantee physical pains. It doesn't guarantee that will cure physical pains. Dukkha will be destroyed. Here it says, that is why pain is described in Sanskrit by two words, Adi and Vyadi. Adi is mental pain and Vyadi is physical pain. For example, when you take a child is sick. If the child is sick, it is only a physical pain for this child, since the child does not know how to worry. So it is only vyadi for the child. Whereas for the parent, when the child is sick, it causes a lot of worry to the parent, and for that, it is adi, not vyadi. And the interesting thing is, actual vyadi is not required. Even an imaginary vyadi creates a lot of adi. Actually, many times people have told me that their children go to medical schools, and in the medical school, they learn about so many diseases. And this boy or girl, for that matter, they think based on the symptoms and all that, oh, maybe they have got those symptoms and they all have all those diseases. So this is this is a case with many students. Sometimes this happens, you know, many people have told me that. So they don't have really any vyadi, no disease at all, but they all worry about something, even thinking that it may be there. So this adi is called samsara, and that is referred to here as dukkha. So samsara dukkha nashaha bhavati. That too how? Atyantika. That is the most important thing here. Once and for all removed. Totally it is removed. Completely removed. So without Vedanta, we may get some peace of mind by going to maybe to some temple, some ashrama, some hill station. We can take a trip to Himalayas. So even if you go to any of those places, you may perhaps try to escape. They are all maybe called escapist routes, by which we may forget our worries temporarily. Even if you go to Himalayas, that may be the case only. All these are only palliative and not curative. So Vedanta solves the worry problem for good. And so it is called Atyantika Nashaha, which alone is technically called moksha or liberation, freedom from worry, not any mystic state or condition. But it is an understandable condition of freedom from worry, from sorrow, from all these pains. And when will it come? Anu, consequently, anantaram eva. So as even the knowledge is assimilated, the relief also becomes very clear. So that is the greatness about Vedanta and self-knowledge. Shloka 47. Shraddha bhakti dhyana yogan mumukshoh mukter hetun bhakti sakshachrute gihi yo vayete shvevat tishtatyamushya moksho vidya kalpita deha bandhat. So the previous shloka is further clarified in this shloka. Also Shankaracharya says, this remedy is not my personal invention. It is not any Shankaraism. This is not my invention, not my theory at all. This teaching belongs to the eternal Vedic wisdom, Vedantic wisdom. Therefore, he quotes from another Upanishad called Kaivalya Upanishad. In the second line, he says, Shrutehe Gihi Pakhi. Here, Shruti refers to Kaivalya Upanishad, another Upanishad. Gihi. Gihi means Vakyam, the statement. So Kaivalya Upanishad Vakyam is what is quoted here. In Kaivalya Upanishad, the student Ashwalayana, he approaches the teacher Brahmaji. Brahmaji himself was the teacher, and asks for self-knowledge. There Brahmaji straight away starts to teach by saying, Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogat Avehi. This Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyana, Yoga, these three are the means for self-knowledge. So who teaches? Brahmaji himself teaches to this student Ashwalayana. Muktehe Hetun Bhakti. So this Kaivalya Upanishad Vakyam says following three as means of liberation. For whom? For Mumukshoho, for a seeker of liberation. So this has to be repeatedly added because majority of people are not seekers of liberation. Their top priority is artha or kama, or in some cases maybe dharma, punya, those kinds of things. So Shankaracharya says, this teacher is relevant for the seeker of liberation. For him, here the word yoga has to be added to each of them. So it should be Shraddha Yogaha, Bhakti Yogaha, Dhyana Yogaha. So it's a common word to be added to every one of them. So in this context, Shraddha Yogaha refers to Shravana, Vedanta Shravana. Why? Shravanam requires faith in Guru and Shastra. So if there is no faith in the Guru and Shastra, Shravanam will not give meaning, which will not be beneficial. Then Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga refers to Mananam. So Shravanam is Shraddha Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is Mananam. Why? That requires Ekagrata Bhakti. Ekagrata means Bhakti also is Ekagrata. Focus. Commitment should be there. Sincerity. Dedication to Shastras and to Guru. That should be there. Why so? If I find any statement in scriptures appears irrational to me or illogical to me, if I don't have reverence to the scriptures, what will I do naturally? I will renounce the scriptures and say it does not make sense. Long ago, when the internet and all came, people used to write all those things in various places. Today only we have got the terms like blogs and this and that. Those days they used to put all these postings. And one guy, I read somewhere, one guy said, there is no need at all for Rigveda. He is a great scholar. He has concluded there is no need for Rigveda. So people without understanding what it is, they make statements of this kind without knowing what that is. So such kind of half-baked analysis, half-baked, conclusions would come out from people if they don't understand. So if I have reverence at least, I will never say that they are illogical, irrational, etc. I will say that I have not grasped its essence properly yet. So what do? I inquire again and again and again till it is clear to me. So till such time, I go on. I have faith in that. I have reverence in the scriptures. So I go on trying to inquire more and more. I try to seek help from other teachers and other people so that I will understand it clearly. This is called technically Pramanya Buddhihi. We have given this term earlier also. Acceptance of the validity of scriptures or the Shastras. So for a Vedantian, Upanishadic information is as valid as perceptual data of a scientist. Because the scientist, he uses a lot of perceptible data to interpret things, to come to conclusions. For the Shastras, for the Vedantic seeker, Upanishadic statements are like that. And then the last one is Dhyana Yoga. So Dhyana Yoga refers to Nididhyasana. So Shraddha Yoga is Shravanam, Bhakti Yoga is Mananam, and Dhyana Yoga is Nididhyasana. So Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyana Yoga means what? Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana Yoga or Jnana Yoga in short. So these threefold Jnana Yoga, so that is the Kaivalya Upanishad presents as a means to moksha. Then the question is, if Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam alone are the means of liberation, why should the Shastras talk about Karma Yoga, Upasana, Japa, Tapa, and all those things, and even including social service? Why should Shastras mention about all these? For that, the answer is indicated here. Shankaracharya used the word Sakshat. Sakshat means Jnana Yoga is the direct means or primary contributor to liberation, whereas Karma Yoga, Upasana, social service, rituals, all those things, they are also means of liberation, but they do not take you to liberation directly, but indirectly they contribute. We already interpreted this shloka in this manner when we read the other shloka somewhere in the beginning, where we said moksha karana samagriyam bhakti reva gariyasi. So we said, Swaswarupanusandhanam bhaktiritya vidiyate. So when we interpret that shloka, how jnana is the direct contributor to moksha, whereas all other things like karma yoga, upasana and all those things, they are also bhakti, they also contribute, but they do not take somebody directly to liberation. So they are all called parampara sadhanas, and jnana yoga is called sakshat sadhanam. For example, Shankaracharya says in Atma Bodha, eating the food alone will quench somebody's hunger. But whatever you need to make the food, all are required. You need all the materials, you need fire, you need a person to cook, you need all the ingredients, all of them are required, but none of them directly quench hunger. So they are all means. They are called parampara sadhanas. eating only is Sakshat Sadhana. So the glory of Jnana Yoga is Sakshat Mukti Hetuhu. And therefore, Yaha Va Yeteshu Eva Tishtati. Suppose a mumukshu dedicates his entire life for these three pursuits. Dedication is very important. Not a casual approach, but primary. It's a primary approach. It's a top priority. The three pursuits. If the person goes through that, he says, such a seeker lives his life for this pursuit only. That is why in those days, they take to sannyasa ashrama, which was exclusively dedicated to Jnana Yoga. And the society also understood those people and were supportive of them. They were not criticizing them. Those sannyasis, they won't say, oh, this guy looks very fit and all that, physically young and all. Why should you go and, you know, beg for alms and all? Why should you not work? Society did not say all that. They considered this person going through the sannyasa marga, the nivritti marga. They respected that and they supported him. So our culture itself has the pravritti marga for, you know, dharmartha kama and nivritti marga for moksha, designed by the scriptures itself. Therefore, yaha vam yeteshveva tishtati amushya, for that person, mokshaha bhavati, liberation will certainly come, no doubt at all. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will always say, asamshayaha, guaranteed, no doubt at all. Krishna says everywhere. So the success is directly proportional to one's commitment. It is not like other faiths that you will go to heaven after death. In Advaita, it is atra brahma samashnute. Here and now itself, it is available for you to own up. Only you have to own up. It is available. And moksha from what? Avidya kalpita deha bandhat. Physical bondages are limitations. Deha bandhat. Dehaha eva bandhaha. Deha bandhaha. So physical shackles. How have we got these shackles? Avidya kalpitat. Purely projected by ignorance. Avidya. That means what? I am a physical entity as long as I am identified with the physical body. My deha abhimana. If my physicality has to go away, I don't have to destroy the body. I have to only remove the deha abhimana, association, identification with the body, and understand that the physical limitation belongs to the physical body only. I am not limited by the body. How do you prove it? In dream, I am no more identified with the body. And so I no more feel physical limitation. In sleep, when I am not identified with the body, I am a conscious entity without feeling physical limitation. Physical limitations are only incidentally felt during jagrat and dream states and dropped in sushupti, in deep sleep state. So whatever is incidental is not my intrinsic nature. So you have to drop the physical abhimana, identification with the body, which is in whose hands? Which is in my hands only. So avidya kalpitat deha bandhat, ignorance projected deha abhimana, that will go away. Shloka 48. Ajnana yogat paramatmanastava jnanatma bandhattava eva samstritihi tayor vivekodita bodhavannihi ajnana karyam pradahet samulam. Here the Acharya gives a brief report or the remedy that is in view of Vedanta. So what is going to be done here? It is going to be elaborated in the next 500 and all shlokas, the remedy. So what is the treatment and the aim of this teaching? The aim can be put in two steps. The first step is the understanding that the individual is a mixture of two factors based on Upanishads. Not based on scientific observation or anything. Here, based on Upanishads, the individual is a mixture of two things. What are those two? Matter and consciousness. It is not seen as a bundle of matter categorized into so many forms, but the whole matter it puts in a bunch, including brain, mind, body, blood, etc., all bundled. Then the second thing factor is the consciousness principle. The scriptures do not assume consciousness as part of matter or a function or property of matter. This is the unique approach of scriptures. It is a consciousness is an independent entity. We saw earlier today that it is not part, product or property of the body, but pervades and enlivens the body. And it also survives even after the death or change of matter. So, for the sake of convenience, the matter can be divided into three bodies, five sheaths. So, Sharira Trayam or Pancha Koshaha. So, even in scientific or Ayurvedic approach, Vada, Pitta, Kapha, all those things are there in Ayurveda. So, matter is matter regardless of how it is looked at. But consciousness is independent. This is called Atma Anatma Vivekaha. This is the first stage of Vedanta and it is a very important stage. And the second stage is gradually learning to shift the I from Anatma, that is the matter bundle, to the consciousness, which is a very long process. Because we have to decondition our habit bond not only in this birth, but in innumerable number of birth, that I am the body notion. All my goals of life are based on what? On this notion only, the anatma, the body. So shifting the small I and owning the capital I is called mithyatva nischayaha in Vedanta. This is managing the ego, indicated by the sarpa abharanam of Shiva. And the snake represents what? The managed or controlled ego. The snake hanging around his neck represents the controlled ego. When the snake is in control, it is an abharanam, it's an ornament. And when it is not controlled, it is frightening. Similarly, unmanaged cobra is a frightening cobra. Cobra, managed ego is ornament. So this is the second stage. Or aham, atma, asmi, or brahma, asmi, iti jnana. Now if you look at this shloka, ajnana yoga tava paramatmanaha. You are really the paramatma, the consciousness, not the body. Not that you have consciousness, but according to Vedanta, you are consciousness. Now what has happened? Anatma bandaha. You are tied down to the body, the matter. You have mistaken yourself to be matter. Deha abhimanaha. When did it start? Right from birth. Why did this deha abhimana come? Ajnana yogat. Purely because of ignorance. When did ignorance come? Right from birth. As even as we are born with many ignorances. We are born with English ignorance, Chinese ignorance, other language ignorance. Along with so many ignorances, we are born. I have got an ignorance of my nature also. Along with so many other ignorances, I also got the ignorance of my nature right at birth. Only difference is what? The other ignorances, I tried to get rid of. I go to school, I learn. Sometimes I go abroad and learn. All those things I do, so that I can get rid of other ignorances, thinking that by getting rid of them, I will get Purnatvam. Since we have never attempted to remove self-ignorance, it is very well rooted, deep-rooted. We have never attempted to remove self-ignorance, not only in this Janma, in so many prior Janmas also. So it is so deeply rooted in us. Then you would want to, once it is rooted in you, what happens? It is the cause of Dehabhimana. Identification with the body, identification with anatma, matter. So what? Then you will own up all problems which belong to the body. Whatever problems belong to the body, we will try to own them up. We should accept insecurity, which is inevitable. Not only that, mortality of the body also is inevitable. So we think that we are going to die. Even though all these sixfold modifications, asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati, all those sixfold modifications are going to be there, they are facts of life, you cannot resist. You think that you are subject to all of them, because you think you are the body. They all belong to the body. They all belong to anatma. They don't belong to atma. Because we have not owned up atmatvam, the chaitanyatvam of us, we associate ourselves to the body, and because of that, all problems of the body, we think they all belong to us. So if you want to be immortal, then what one should do? One should come to Vedanta. If not, be happy as you are. Lot of people, they may not want to come to Vedanta. Life is well for me. Why should I worry about, I don't know what future is going to be, next birth and all, I don't know, there is no proof for me. So I have one life, and this life is good. Why I go to Vedanta? That's absolutely fine. Okay, if somebody is happy with that, that's absolutely fine. Vedanta says that is okay, no problem. Go ahead and enjoy as much as you want during this life when you can. So if you want to be immortal, then come to Vedanta. If not, happy as you are. So tata eva samshrutihi. So dehabhimana invariably causes samsara problem. All the problems of samsara are caused by this dehabhimana. Only dehabhimana is what? Association with the body, identification with the body, that I am the body notion. And what is the solution for this? Tayoho vivekaha. You have to separate the consciousness and matter. Shariram and shariri. In Bhagavad Gita, we have used the term shariri. So shariram and shariri. Shariram is the body. And shariri is the indwelling spirit, the consciousness. With the help of shastras, and by that study only, discrimination between tayoho, atma, anatmayoho, matter and consciousness is possible. And this will produce what? Bodha vannihi. Bodha vannihi means the fire of knowledge. Bodha means knowledge. So by the friction of inquiry, by go on doing self-inquiry with the help of shastras and with the upadesha of a guru, the fire of knowledge is produced in me. Why knowledge is compared to the fire? We have seen these things earlier also. Because ajnana karyam pradahet samulam. That is what is given here in this shloka. Ajnana karyam pradahet samulam. The fire of knowledge will burn down. Pradahet, dahet, pradahet, burn down. What? Ajnana karyam. Ajnanam. Ajnanam is ignorance as well as its karyam. What is ajnanam? That I am the body. That is ajnanam. I am the body. I am not the consciousness. The consciousness, which is separate entity, is not known to me. That is ajnanam. And what is its karyam? What is the consequence or the effect? Since I don't know that I am consciousness, I take myself as matter. That is the problem. Because I don't know I am consciousness, I take myself as matter, anatma. That matter identification, that is called karyam here. So ignorance is karanam. Ignorance or avidya. Ignorance means self-ignorance. Not ignorance of any other chemistry ignorance or physics ignorance. Self-ignorance is the karanam, and identification is karyam. Both of them pradahet. They are all burnt. Samulam. Samulam means ajnana sahitam. Completely it is removed. Mulam is the root cause. So it is completely burnt. It will destroy the effect along with the causal ignorance. The causal ignorance means the ignorance that is the cause for this particular karyam. It will destroy them completely. So that is what Shankaracharya says in this shloka. So we will continue with the next shloka in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prakto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah. Sri Krishna Namaste.